let you know if you happen to be listening in and you're in the Hunterdon County, New Jersey, or central New Jersey area for the weather forecast real quick. Today, scattered showers before 2 p.m., then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm between 2 and 3 p.m., then scattered showers and thunderstorms after 3, cloudy with a high near 77. Tonight, chance of showers before 8 p.m., then a slight chance of showers after midnight, mostly cloudy with a low about 50. Saturday, chance of showers mainly before 5 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 59. Late west wind increasing 9 miles per hour and about 40% chance of precipitation. On Saturday, chance of rain, showers before 5 a.m., then a chance of rain, snow showers, if you believe that, mostly cloudy with a low about 31. Sunday, a chance of snow showers again before 8 a.m., mostly sunny with a high of 43, and then partly cloudy with a low around 30 on Sunday night. Chance of rain on Monday with a high about 56. So we're going to go to our quick break, and then we're going to have our conversation with some representatives for the upcoming powwow event that's going to be held at Raritan Valley Community College. Again, this is Good Morning Hunterdon, and I'm Jeannie Murphy, filling in for Chris Bianco. Big C. We'll be right back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat. Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We're in a fantastic state that I love, Ohio, and we just saw the victims and the families, and we were really brave people, amazing people.
Comments from President-elect Trump after meeting with victims of the Ohio State Islamic terrorist attack. Trump praised the first responders.
The police and first responders were incredible. The job done in particular by one young gentleman was incredible. And I got to meet him, and he was very brave. The families have done so well to come through this so well, and so a lot of respect.
House Speaker Paul Ryan had a meeting with President-elect Trump. He said the two talked about transition plans and what will happen during the first 100 days of Trump's administration. More news online at usaradio.com.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I forgot holiday gifts for my clients.
Well, Staples is the place for great tech gift ideas, like Apple TV.
Terrific. I need ideas.
Staples Tech Gifts coupon book has great ideas and over $700 in savings on tech gifts your clients will love.
That's perfect, Staples guy. I don't know what to say. I mean, you did this just for me?
Well, yes, and everybody else.
For your tech gifts this holiday, visit Staples and look for Staples Tech Gifts coupon book. While supplies last, ends 12/31/16, excludes clearance Staples U.S. stores only.
There are three foods that may be killing you. These three commonly consumed foods are actually banned in many other countries and yet readily available in the United States and frequently consumed here. The big food distributors have spent hundreds of millions of dollars to try and keep this information a secret. Learn what these foods are and what they are doing to you by going to killerfood35.com. That's killerfood35.com.
Many are remembering American hero John Glenn, who passed away yesterday at 95. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes with more.
John was not just a legend, he was a champion.
Former astronaut Gene Cernan telling Fox News that Glenn was exactly the type of hero America needed in the 1960s.
I don't know how you define the right stuff, but if you define John Glenn, you'll find it.
John Glenn died yesterday after a brief hospitalization. He was 95. I'm Chris Barnes.
President Obama ordering a complete review of all election hacking claims. Obama's counterterrorism advisor Lisa Monaco told a breakfast meeting the president expects to see a report before he leaves office on January 20th. U.S. intelligence officials have accused Russian government hackers of being behind Democratic Party computer system hacks. Officials in Georgia are claiming the federal government actually hacked the servers of the Georgia elections. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a sight of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu. But you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shield yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
The U.S. now in the grips of the first polar vortex of the year. In New York, many people surprised it's this cold this early. Here's Scott Pringle.
This street vendor is outside all day in the cold.
You look like a marshmallow on that thing.
I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Big, like this.
What do you got on? Tell me.
I got this heavy jacket. I got a jacket underneath this, a vest, a couple of insulated shirts, insulated long johns.
And you're warm?
Yeah, I'm okay.
And with this first winter blast of cold air, he's fully stocked and ready to make lots of dough this weekend.
Well, scarves are 10, 3 for 25.
And you got gloves and hats?
Hats, earmuffs.
In Midtown, Scott Pringle, New York.
A group of prisoners in trouble for doing the mannequin challenge. Correspondent Jason Campidonia has the story.
Prisoners at Donovan State Prison used an illegal cell phone to shoot video of them participating in the mannequin challenge and then uploaded it to YouTube. The video starts with an inmate sitting on a toilet while pondering his future. It then cuts to another inmate using a different illegal cell phone and three others frozen in a fighting stance. In all, 14 illegal cell phones are seen in the video. Prison officials say they are investigating. Jason Campidonia, San Diego.
A man accused of shooting 9 parishioners at a black church in South Carolina said he had to do something because, quote, black people are killing white people every day on the street, unquote. Dylan Roof gave that explanation during a 2-hour video confession being shown today at his trial. USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Well, good afternoon. Today is, of course, December 9th, Friday, and we're here in Hunterdon County, and I hope you're not stuck on 31. Believe me, if you're listening to this and you're coming north on 31, try to avoid it because it is a nightmare. Traffic stopped. It can take you 15 minutes or longer just to get from the car dealerships through the circle. And I guess I shouldn't tell everyone to come through Flemington, but that may be one way to get around some of this. And it is getting worse, not better. And, of course, Friday doesn't make it a whole lot better because we know Fridays are always busy. So, in any event, we're here in Hunterdon Radio, and the program is It's the Law. But let me tell you a little bit about the weather before we start the program today. Colder. I guess you've noticed that if you're outside. There have been some scattered snow flurries this afternoon. It's about 37 degrees. Tonight should be partly cloudy, again down into the low 20s. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly sunny, high of about 36 degrees. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. If you have to get out there to do some work outside, tomorrow's the day to do it because on Sunday we have a slight chance of snow, then a chance of rain mixed with snow. So starting out about a 20% chance of snow, so it's a very slight, but then a 40% chance of mixture of snow and rain, and then into Sunday night where snow is likely, and then again snow and rain, low of about 27 degrees. This is a hazardous warning because there's certainly driving could be somewhat hazardous. Not supposed to be icy on Monday morning, but who knows, depends on what happens, meaning how, if that rain freezes, it certainly can be icy. So the program today, It's the Law, and we'll be right back after I just tell you one of our sponsors, and then we'll talk about what's happening in legal news.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits, your host for It's the Law. Today I'm going to talk about some of the legal news, a few of the cases that have been decided. And, of course, most of you who know me know that I am an attorney here in Hunterdon County, practice throughout the state, but I limit my practice to family law, family-related matters. So in the program, I just try to give you some general news. Might even talk about a couple of the rule changes today. But in any event, first thing I wanted to mention is that the New Jersey Supreme Court has declined to hear an appeal of an $11.1 million verdict against Johnson & Johnson over allegedly harmful pelvic mesh implants. So this is significant because our Supreme Court is not going to hear it, and that means the $11.1 million verdict stands. Now, another federal multi-district litigation, two women have been appointed to lead the federal multi-district litigation over Johnson & Johnson's baby powder, including one whose firm obtained three verdicts this year. So in other words, one of the women is in fact represented by a firm who obtained three verdicts against Johnson & Johnson this year. So that there is going to be federal multi-district litigation, very significant. Now, you know, one of the things, the question is restricting private settlements under Fair Labor Standards Act. And, of course, many litigants are understandably reluctant to disclose, at least publicly disclose, the terms of their settlement agreements. And I would generally say that it's not the plaintiffs who are suing, but the especially the defendant companies don't want it known how much they're settling for. Okay, so there's, of course, there's always news about President-elect and some of the appointments he's making. Scott Pruitt, the reported pick to lead the Environmental Protection Agency, is a chief foe of the agency. So he's picking someone who's the chief foe of the agency and also who could unravel two of the Obama administration's signature regulations. And one is the Clean Power Plan, and the other is the Waters of the United States Rule. So depending on what you're feeling about, you know, this type of regulation, this could be significantly changed. There was an appellate division case on what we usually call civil procedure and medical malpractice cases and trusts and estates. And that is under the Survivor Act. So in 2009, the New Jersey legislature amended the Survivor Act. And that is, of course, the statute NJSA 2A:15-3. So if any of you are interested in looking up the statutes, you can certainly go online. And if you know the number of the statute, you can go into the New Jersey courts. And I think you could probably also get it on Google. And simply would put in NJSA 2A:15-3, and that would bring the Survivors Act up. And this statute, and for the first time, including a statute of limitations. So that was in 2009. For the first time, there was included in the statute a statute of limitations. Now, a statute of limitations means that a lawsuit must be brought within a certain period of time. And in this case, the legislature said that every action under the Survivor Act must be commenced within 2 years after the death of the decedent. So the 2009 amendment also provided that if the death was a homicide, an action against a defendant who had been convicted, found not guilty by reason of insanity, or adjudicated delinquent may be brought at any time. So that was the difference. And in this regard, the 2009 amendment mirrored an earlier amendment to the Wrongful Death Act, which is sometimes referred to as the WDA. So in this case, the appellate division granted leave to appeal, in which the plaintiff, who was the executrix of her husband's estate, filed a medical malpractice complaint alleging causes of action under the Survivor Act and the WDA. Now, the complaint in this case was not filed within the two-year statute of limitations applicable to bodily injury, but instead was filed within 2 years of the decedent's death. So in reversing the motion judgment's denial of partial summary judgment to the defendant on the Survivor Act claims, the appellate division concluded that construing the 2009 amendment literally would lead to absurd results. And they said that these would be contrary to the legislators and legislature's stated intention when adopting the 2009 amendment, and contrary to a number of statutes of limitations found elsewhere. So this is a case where they said trying to limit the statute of limitations, as the trial judge did, they did not approve that. And so that, however, in any of those cases, people need to act well before 2 years. In other words, they really, you can't wait until the last minute because there's always some kind of a snafu. There's also a case that came down from the appellate division. That was to do with the whether or not the New Jersey has continuing exclusive jurisdiction in certain family matters. And, you know, certainly that is a real concern. I have a case right now that's pending where one party wants to move out of the state of New Jersey with the children. Well, one of the real concerns is, although New Jersey would continue to have jurisdiction over the case, it's very likely in the future that a judge will say, well, let a judge or court in another state where the children are now living make that decision. So that's one of the reasons why parents are very reluctant to allow their children to move, mainly because they're concerned that the changes will be that they have less parenting time with the children. So there's a pushback. The New Jersey Attorney General's office is getting an earful of complaints over its request that the Supreme Court name a special master to consider relaxing the rules for calibration of the alcohol test. Specifically, that's alcohol test 7110 MK3-C. And that is used to estimate from a breathalyzer test, the blood alcohol level of persons suspected of drunk driving. So they had hoped to just have a special master to consider those, and there have been a lot of complaints that that should not be the way to do it. It should continue to be handled in the way it has been handled. So New Jersey lawmakers are coming close to enacting legislation that would regulate the practice of telemedicine, in which patients remotely receive medical evaluation or counseling from their health care providers. So right now, for example, I noticed, I understand that on, I think the program, I'm not sure, it may be Dr. Phil, that there is an app out there where you can call in and, you know, basically speak with a doctor on the telephone or on the internet. So in any way, the legislators here are looking to enact legislation that would regulate that practice of telemedicine. And so I think there's a lot of concern, and there should be concern, about receiving a medical evaluation or even counseling from healthcare providers over the internet or by phone. And I guess the question would be, you know, whether or not this is medical evaluation or counseling by your own doctor or just by someone who doesn't know you. And I guess the issue will also be, what is a medical evaluation? For example, if you call your doctor, you're a pregnant woman, you call your doctor in the middle of the night and explain that you're having certain symptoms, most doctors would tell you that's to be expected, or, you know, go to the hospital right away. It looks like you're beginning delivery. And there's so many other situations where it certainly seems appropriate for someone to be able to reach a doctor who they're familiar with to get advice over the telephone. So I think I'm not sure how this legislation is being drawn up, but it certainly will, seems to me that there would be different criteria from talking to your own doctor and getting counseling, or perhaps even what some people would consider a medical evaluation. And of course, one of the things that we have to worry about in all of this is, you know, the harder we make it, the more difficult it will be. And, you know, doctors are not going to want to risk malpractice claims that they made diagnosis over the phone. I don't think they would anyway. So, but that's something that the legislature is considering. And then, as they say, the social media authentication battle rages. Like it or not, social media has radically transformed the way we think, communicate, and interact. And with our friends, family, and the general public. So there's, you know, a question of, you know, what kind of legislation there should be in connection with those communications. Now, the FDA, the Federal Food and Drug Administration, cannot be held liable for financial damages suffered by farmers when it issues emergency food safety warnings, even if they're erroneous. So the Fourth Circuit has ruled that the FDA is not liable, even if the warnings that they issue are erroneous. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled in favor of Samsung on Tuesday in its patent dispute with Apple Inc. over design features copied from the Apple iPhone. And so that this was a win for Samsung. Now, there is generally there are not a lot of family law cases that are published. And as I've said before and indicated before, an opinion that's approved for publication is precedential. Now, that's not true if it's a trial court opinion, because one trial court does not have to follow, one trial judge doesn't have to follow the opinion of another trial judge, even if the case is published. However, if it's an appellate court decision or a Supreme Court decision, then the trial court does have to follow it. So there are two cases approved for publication this week. One is Lal versus Shivani, and the appeal in that case involves a parent's effort to terminate a grandparent's visitation, which had been allowed pursuant to a consent order. Now, the major case in New Jersey is Moriarty versus Brandt, and in the appellate division in this case held that a parent's rights, which of course was recognized in New Jersey in Moriarty versus Brandt, do not empower a parent to terminate or modify a consent order unilaterally. So in this case, the grandparents and a parent had a consent order that had been part of a court proceeding. So what the appellate division said, that rather a request to modify or terminate visitation by consent order must be considered in accordance with what we call the Lepus framework. Now, Lepus was a case where the issue is whether or not people can modify an agreement, and they can modify agreements in family cases, not all agreements, but certainly some agreements, and they can do that based on what we call change of circumstances. So, a parent must, in this case, make a showing, what we call a prima facie showing, of changed circumstances as would warrant relief. If the parent succeeds to that threshold, the parent bears a burden to show the modification or termination would not cause harm to the children or to the child. If someone enters a consent order, that's certainly significant, and then you can't just unilaterally change it. And frankly, that is pretty much the case and should be the case with all orders someone should not be able to just unilaterally change them. Certainly not. And unless perhaps there have been a change of circumstances which would warrant the change. So there's also a family law case that related to civil procedure, and that is the family parts exercise of continuing exclusive jurisdiction, implicating provisions of the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act. And the Support Act, we have that, it's part of a statute in New Jersey. And in this case, the defendant maintains that orders modifying child support must be vacated because she relocated to North Carolina, depriving New Jersey of jurisdiction. And the court said the act is recently amended, includes provisions regarding a New Jersey tribunal's authority to modify a controlling child support order when a parent, or I guess I should say when both parents and the child no longer reside in New Jersey. Now, in this case, the court, and it was, again, the appellate division, concluded the facts support the family parts authority to exercise continuing exclusive jurisdiction as the prior version of the act, now repealed, was in effect. And so that's what they're looking at in this case, that the prior version was in effect and permitted the modification of the previously issued child support order. Now, the court said if the current act was applied under these facts of this case, New Jersey would also have jurisdiction. However, the court was compelled to observe the amendments alter the foundations when individuals and the child leave New Jersey, possibly leaving a jurisdictional gap if there's no agreement among the parties, as was shown in this case. So that can be a problem. I mean, there could be a judicial gap if New Jersey says that the state is no longer has jurisdiction, and another state could easily say that state doesn't have jurisdiction either, because there are lots of things that people have to do before they can assume that a state has jurisdiction. Usually, of course, the main thing is that the people have to live in the state, and you have to be able to get jurisdiction over the other person also. So what else is happening? There are other brief, other news, legal news, is in a decision-breaking ground on venue, a wrongful termination suit by a former vice president of a multinational consumer goods company. Actually, it's Reckitt Benckiser Group, has transferred to Morris County after a Superior Court judge found the company's business contacts with Essex County were insufficient to support the plaintiff's filing in that location. Surprise, surprise. Very often plaintiffs want to file, we can understand why, they want to file their lawsuit where they think they're going to have an easier time to prevail. If it's for money damages, that juries are generally better from a plaintiff standpoint. In other words, they're likely to get a lot more money. There certainly are counties in New Jersey that are considered very stingy. Hunterdon is one of them. Somerset is another one. And there are cases where, the view is that juries are more forthcoming with money. So in this case, the plaintiffs filed the case in Essex County, which is Newark, and the other attorney said, wait a minute, it doesn't properly belong there. It belongs in Morris County. And in fact, they won, so the case has to be brought in Morris County. The Third Circuit upheld the dismissal of a class action over GEICO coverage. So there was the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. Remember, that's our circuit. That's our appellate court for the New Jersey Federal Court. And they upheld a lower court's dismissal of a protracted class action accusing GEICO of refusing to pay for injured or car insurance customers' medical case, finding that the class representative did not show her treatment expenses were necessary and reasonable as a result of her accident. So someone can't just go file a claim, and basically I think there'll be their claim will either be thrown out or they'll have to do much more than just file that claim. Because in this case, the claimant didn't show her treatment expenses were necessary and reasonable, or even as a result of the accident. So there was another case published this week in Family Law, and that was an appellate division, and the issue in that case was a defendant appealed a domestic violence final restraining order, an FRO. So this is exactly, I have been talking about some of these issues for a long time. But anyway, this defendant appealed a final FRO, claiming it was void upon entry. And that was despite the party's settlement of matrimonial issues that included the defendant's consent to the final restraining order, because the judge did not find an act of domestic violence that had occurred. So that was a few days before the scheduled date for oral argument. The party stipulated to a dismissal of the appeal, and that stipulation would allow for the final restraining order in perpetuity. So in this case, very unusually, instead of just going beyond it, letting it go, the defendant pursued the claim. And the question is, pursuant to the interests of justice, do they require a disposition of the appeal's merits? And the court vacated the FRO due to lack of finding of domestic violence, reinstated the temporary restraining order, and remanded for a final hearing. So what the court did is they didn't just get rid of the final restraining order, which is something you wanted to do, and instead told the folks, hey, you've got to go back. There is a temporary restraining order, but now you have to go back and have a trial to determine whether or not this is going to be permanent. And this is an important case from the family law part, because it's not at all unusual that parties settle these cases so that they don't have to go to court, so they don't have to have a risk of a sentence that is more than one would like. Not that anybody likes any sentences. Okay. Now, a judge allowed an insurer for the manager security company to settle claims in mall carjacking where a lawyer died. So we'll, it's a little bit past where I wanted to take a break, short break. We'll take a break now and hear from some of our sponsors and be back to discuss some more of the legal news and discuss some of what's coming up in the future. And also, well, as I said, some case law or, you know, some statute changes. And understand at this time of year, there won't be a lot going on in the next 2 weeks. Probably not a lot of appeals that are going to be coming out approved for publication. But in any event, this is a message from one of our sponsors, and I hope everybody will consider, seriously consider representing a sponsor, because we can't survive without them.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, as you know, there's all of the controversy over this J&J litigation, and I still don't know whether or not the federal judge is granted Johnson & Johnson's motion to order the plaintiff's attorneys applying for the lead roles in the multi-district litigation over its talcum powder products to disclose whether or not they are backed by third-party finance, third parties to finance it. So the question is, these cases are very expensive, and they're very expensive to litigate, And so the issue always is who's behind the lead plaintiffs. In this case, the Johnson & Johnson actually is asking the federal judge to tell them who is financing. And they would be doing this, of course, to see whether or not there is any kind of a conflict, or at least to show some kind of bias. But the so that I'm not sure, as I said, whether or not the that's what's happening there. Put it that way, as to the ruling itself. Now this is a case going back couple months, where a transgender woman who wants to change the gender noted on her birth certificate has filed a lawsuit against the State Department of Health in federal court for the right to do so. And actually, it goes back to November. And so the question is whether or not the plaintiff, who's transgender, is now able to change the birth certificate to be the same as a sex. And my understanding is that the federal government does, in fact, or will change Social Security Administration information. I believe that it's not that difficult to change a passport. On the other hand, it may be, because you'd have to have your birth certificate to get a passport. So if your birth certificate lists you as male, whether or not the INS is going to issue a passport that says you're female. So this is these are all, questions that are still have to be answered. Now, there is a legislature is close to passing a bill that would ask voters to approve a constitutional amendment mandating that any money recovered from environmental lawsuits initiated by the state be dedicated to environmental projects. In other words, if the state recovers money from these lawsuits rather than putting it into the general fund, which is what happens, is whether they be dedicated, all of these funds be dedicated to environmental projects. Haven't read the wording of it. Certainly, at first glance, seems to be pretty reasonable. You know, if in fact there's money coming in because of violations of certain environmental laws, why shouldn't that money be used to pay for environmental any kind of an environmental project? Now, I suppose the contrary to that would be, well, other monies collected by the state are all put in a more general fund, so why shouldn't this money be put in a general fund? And I guess another concern could be, what if there's very little money that comes in under this section? Will that hold everyone back from actually either giving or ordering more money? So, a multi-district litigation accusing FedEx Ground of misclassifying its drivers as independent contractors. And in this case, all seven New Jersey class representatives in the case have expressed their opposition to a proposed $25 million settlement. So the issue here is, and frankly, I wasn't aware, and I don't think most people are aware, that FedEx Ground would classify its drivers as independent contractors when, in fact, they were or they are employees. So that's always a question. Is someone an independent contractor, or are they an employee? Usually most companies have different regulations for employees as compared against private contractors and who are considered independent contractors. And, of course, an independent contractor has to pay their own Social Security, and the employer does not have to pay Social Security. So there's really an advantage for employers who are saying that these people are independent contractors. However, it's very difficult in most cases to prove somebody's an independent contractor rather than an employee. And that is an important, and what you don't want to do if you're an employer is you don't want to classify someone as an independent contractor and then get caught because you're not paying your share of their Social Security. There's also unemployment. There's other things that employers have to pay. So that is probably something that's done or tried to be done a lot. Now, I do know that realtors in the state of New Jersey are independent contractors. So they are considered independent contractors, and they have to handle their own tax issues, etc. So let me, we'll go to the news. I think that's about all of the legal news that we have for today. And I'm Pat Smits, and we'll be, after the news today, we'll have the sports guys talking about certainly that Steelers-Giants game. Unfortunately, John Manfreda is not going to be with us today. And I'm sure that there'll be some comments on the Kansas City game. The Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs game last night against the Oakland Raiders. At least I'll make some comments. So stay tuned, and we'll be back shortly.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Well, I want to be clear here that this is not an effort to challenge the outcome of the election. So we're not calling into question the election results. We are taking seriously our responsibility to protect the integrity of those elections.
A White House spokesman talking about President Obama's demand for an investigation into allegations there were hacking of the U.S. presidential election by Russian forces.
Malicious cyber activity, specifically malicious cyber activity timed to our elections, has no place in the international community. Unfortunately, this activity is not new to Moscow. We've seen them do this for years.
Hillary Clinton came out slamming fake news, saying it contributed to her election loss. However, Trump campaign head Kellyanne Conway on Fox had a different idea.
I don't know what her message was to the working class voters that we captured and the union households we carried in some places by 2-1. I don't know what her message was to America's women, where she only got 55 or 56% of the vote.
USA Radio News.
You heard it at the holiday party. A cough. A big, loud, juicy cough. Then Cheryl coughed all over the luncheon. Who else saw that? Apparently no one, because one by one they're a feverish mess. But when it comes your way, you're ready, because you got a flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they spend their holiday sniffling at Santa, you'll be tasting every flavor in Grandma's stuffing. It's not too late. Shield yourself with a flu shot from Rite Aid. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 4.125%. APR, 4.82%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
A major retailer has announced they are no longer going to be supporting abortion provider Planned Parenthood. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes with the story.
Macy's will stop donations to Planned Parenthood, according to a conservative watchdog group that monitors corporate funding of certain causes. It says the decision was prompted by anti-abortion customers who made complaints about that practice. I'm Chris Barnes.
Tributes continue to pour in from around the world for U.S. Senator and astronaut John Glenn, who passed away yesterday at the age of 95. Here's a tribute once paid to him by President Obama.
First American to orbit the Earth, John Glenn became a hero in every sense of the word. But he didn't stop there serving his country. As a senator, he found new ways to make a difference.
It was announced today that Glenn will be laid to rest at Arlington National Cemetery with full military honors. There are plans for a public memorial service to be held at Ohio State University before the private ceremony in Washington, D.C. USA Radio News.
Imagine if you could give someone a precious jewel for each day of the year, a treasure with the power to transform their lives, give them breakthrough and joy. This holiday season, give the gift that will open up the treasures of God, unlock the mysteries of the ages, and provide the keys to a victorious life. The Book of Mysteries by New York Times bestselling author Jonathan Cahn will change their life. The Book of Mysteries, available wherever fine books are sold or at mysteriesbook.com.
The polar vortex hitting North America is driving down temperatures across the Northeast. Visitors to New York City surprised at the bitter cold. Here's Scott Pringle.
Folks are all bundled up, winter hats, gloves, scarves. This bitter cold shocking tourists here by the Christmas tree.
I'm from Florida, so this is terrible.
Terrible. I don't even know what you look like. You got this scarf all over your face and you're...
I exist. It's a little cold.
Describe how exactly you're feeling.
Well, right now, since you made me take my scarf off my face, it hurts.
It hurts? What's it like in Florida right now?
I think when we left, it was in the 80s.
In the 80s. From the beach to the ice rink. At Rockefeller Center, Scott Pringle, New York.
Police are investigating the case of a stabbing near Arizona State University. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The stabbing happened close to an apartment building near Rule and Apache Boulevards overnight. Officers were called to the scene after people heard a woman screaming for help, and when they arrived, they found a 20-year-old man with multiple stab wounds. Investigators believe the victim was trying to help the woman, and that's when he got into a fight with two men who took off after the stabbing. No further details have been released. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
A new report says over 1,000 Russian athletes took part in a massive dope conspiracy. The World Anti-Doping Agency says the Russian Sports Ministry and other agencies were involved in a widespread program of cheating. The report details athletes that took part in the 2014 Sochi Winter Olympics in Russia. USA Radio News.
Just quickly before we start with the sports guys, I want to tell you about the weather. Bill is here. Hi, Bill. We're
going to
be without John today, so we're going to have to talk about the Giants-Steelers game without him. But in any event, the weather this weekend, there were some scattered flurries this afternoon, snow flurries. Tonight, partly cloudy, but not expecting any snow. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high of about 36 degrees, so it's getting colder out there, folks. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Then we can expect Sunday and Sunday night some. In fact, there's a question whether there's going to be hazardous weather. In any event, early on Sunday, there's a slight chance of snow, then a chance of mixture of snow and rain. So early on, about a 20% chance of snow, and then up to 40%.
I guess you're leaving.
On Sunday night, we're talking about... likely snow, 60 to 70% likely snow, and then rain or snow, low of about 27 degrees. So let's be careful out there because it could get icy depending on the amount of rain. And, if it gets slushy and that freezes, it could be somewhat hazardous on Monday morning. So, Bill, sports, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, there's a lot to talk about. My Philadelphia Flyers have now won 7 in a row. Last night, after a rather dull first period with little action, it turned into the wildest game of the season, and the Wells Fargo Center was hopping and rocking as the Flyers beat the Oilers in regulation 6-5. Left winger Michael Raffle scored after taking a really beautiful cross-ice pass from Jake Voracek and making a power move, deking past Oiler goalie Oscar Kefboom, what a great name, giving the Flyers a 6-5 lead with a minute 29 seconds to go. It was the kind of pass that is across the neutral zone, banked off the short wall, and Raffle picked it up, made a great fake, got around a defenseman, and just went top shelf on Kefboom. How do you manage to have a great name like Oscar Kefboom? I'm guessing that's a Dutch guy. Meanwhile, the Flyers had overcome a 5-3 deficit going into the third period, so they won their seventh in a row for the first time since 2011. And Saturday,